Welcome to the Victory in Living Ministries broadcast. We are Ray and Pam Jackson, and we're coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. In Psalms 138, 7 and 8, it says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." And in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and a time in the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and to sing for us.
First song I'm going to sing this morning is "I Was There When It Happened." It's a great song, so you listen to it. Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue that we cannot feel the heavy burdens lifted, and all sins are gone. I was there when it happened, Lord, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. It's real, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Amen, right. That was good. We were there when it happened, and we do know.
I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to know what God's done in your life and everything. And I'm going to sing an old song. I heard Walt Mills sing this years and years ago, but I've always liked it, and we kept in our little old songbook. And so I'm going to sing it this morning, "Jesus Came Just in Time." There was a time when I was lost and doomed to die. Unto my fate I resigned. I heard a lovely voice that made my heart rejoice, for Jesus came just in time. When I was all alone, my hope was gone, he came to live with me. 'Twas then I realized that happiness could be mine. My life was wrecked by sin, no peace within, and doomed eternally. But Jesus came just in time. When I was facing death and fighting for each breath, when no relief could I find, somebody prayed for me. God's Spirit set me free, for Jesus came just in time. When I was all alone, my hope was gone, he came to live with me. 'Twas then I realized that happiness could be mine. My life was wrecked by sin, no peace within, and doomed eternally. But Jesus came just in time. Now heaven is my home, just over the misty foam. I'm living in joy divine. My life's completely changed. Oh, praise his holy name, for Jesus came just in time. When I was all alone, my hope was gone. He came to live with me. 'Twas then I realized that happiness could be mine. My life was a wreck by sin, no peace within, and doomed eternally. But Jesus came just in time.
Now let's get ready to continue where we left off last week with the study of the established heart.
Our base scripture is in Psalms 112, 1 through 8. And it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemy."
And now we're going to pick up where Jairus had come to ask Jesus to pray for his daughter that she might be healed.
You know, it wasn't like Jesus just sat lounging, waiting for people to come and say, "Come pray for my daughter. You know, come pray for my daughter." And he'll go, "Oh, I will come." Huh? Now, you know, I've seen ministries like that. They just kind of, praise the Lord, we're not involved in one. But I've seen ministries like that, that they just kind of sit and wait. And then if they deem it worthy of their calling, then they will go. But Jesus had things going on all the time.
Amen.
I mean, he was constantly after doing his Father's business. And in this story, at this time in Mark the 5th chapter, he was in a crowd of people. Okay? And he was ministering to these people. And Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus and asked him to heal his little daughter. And in verse 23, Jairus made this remark. He said, the statement of faith, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live." What was Jairus doing? He was believing in his heart that when Jesus laid his hands on his little girl, that she was going to be healed. He made that statement of faith. And so Jesus started to follow him to his house. Then, like I told you, Jesus had a lot of things going on. Then the little woman came up that had the issue of blood and had been sick for years, and made a faith demand upon his ability to heal her. Now, did Jesus say, "Oh, I can't do that right now. I'm going to Jairus' house. Don't bother me. I'm busy." No. Jesus stopped to minister to the little woman. And while he was attending to her, guess what? Someone from Jairus' house came and said, "Don't bother Jesus any longer. Your little girl's dead. He was too slow. He should have gave you the attention first, but he didn't. So now your daughter's dead." And most of the people in the world today would have went, "Oh God, if you'd have come when I asked you to, it wouldn't have happened. And oh God, I'm so mad at you. How dare you put me off and put someone ahead of me?" Now, none of us ever reacted like that either. Have we? "Oh God," you know, it's not always concerning death, but it's other things, and God turns it a different direction than we think it ought to go. "And oh God, if you'd have just, it looks like you took care of so-and-so before you, But you know what? You know what Jesus said? Did Jesus change his confession? Did you see Jairus change his confession? I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. When the pressure was on, did you see Jairus change his confession? Did he say that? Did he say, "I don't understand why it didn't work for me"? No, that's not what we see. So when it comes to us and we are about to be blessed and something happens and we don't understand, we say what we believe. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive, according to Mark 11 and 24, and my faith says it's mine now. You know, that word now means that we bring it now. You may not see the actual evidence of it, but it is now. The circumstances arise and try to prove that there is no way for us to receive what we're believing for. How many's been there? I can't tell you how many times I've been there. Okay. At that point, we either talk the word or keep your mouth shut. Did you hear that? Talk the word or keep your mouth shut. And that keeping the mouth shut can be real hard. If you do not talk the word, then whatever you do say will negate the prayer you prayed. Now, I told the Lord I really didn't want to share this example, but he said I could, I should, and that I would. And when the Lord tells you you would, then you will. So, we're all adults, so I was studying that, and the Lord showed me that when a woman is expectant a baby, there has been a seed planted there. And she doesn't give birth immediately, but she waits. And she does everything that she's supposed to make sure that she gives birth to a healthy baby. True?
Amen.
Okay. Now, that's just like the Word of God or a prayer that we've prayed. There's a seed that's planted, and it has to grow to maturity. And when the time is right, it will come forth. When we have planted that seed and it's beginning to grow and we have become expectant of the answer, and then we begin to be negative and we begin to speak doubt and unbelief, you know what we're doing? We're getting ready to abort the answer. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to abort what we've asked God for. And after a woman has lost a child in that manner, then there are some medical things that she has to do to be prepared to ever be able to bear children again. And the Lord said, that's just like us. We ask, the seed's planted, it's there to become into full fruitation, full expectancy. See, that's what the Lord spoke to me about. Where Ray and I had been all these years, we had been in the state of expectancy. But when we really began to expect, and we really began to take care of the seed that God had planted there, then it began to be birthed. It began to come forth in our life. But when it's dug up and it's aborted, then there's a mess that's got to be cleaned up. That's just like if you plant in soil and you dig it up and plant it and dig it up and plant it and dig it up and plant it and dig it up and plant it. Eventually, where you're planting is not very good soil anymore. You've got to fertilize it and you got to bring it back to the proper level to where that when you plant that seed, it's going to bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth, and it's because you take care of the soil that the seed's been planted in.
Amen. Good.
Now, I done it, Lord. Okay. So anyway, back to Jairus. Did y'all understand that about aborting the seed? And when the Lord put it to me that way, I thought, how many times have we asked for something and planted it? And we've begun to water it with the word. And we've begun to keep the weeds pulled out from around it. And we've been expectant. And then all of a sudden, we just... And I can tell you from experience that if you have a spontaneous abortion as a woman, it is very traumatic. Very traumatic. It's like a part of you has gone and left, and there's actual a time of inner healing that has to take place. And I think that's why we are where we're at spiritually sometimes, is there's promises that he's brought to us, that he wants to give us, and we've allowed the devil to cause us to have spiritual abortions, and we need spiritual healings. Mm-hmm. We need to come back to the point that we know that our Father God is God, and that Jesus, his Son, died for us, and when he gave us salvation, that he gave us the whole package.
Amen.
That he gave us health and healing and prosperity and righteousness and an established heart, and that he said that there would be nothing that would come our way that he hadn't already prepared a way of escape for us.
Amen.
I mean, we've got to realize that, and we have to live it like that. But when Jairus seen what happened, he did not become discouraged. And in verse 36 of that chapter, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Yes. Jesus exhorted Jairus to be like the man in Psalms 112, not to be afraid of evil tidings, but trust in him, to follow him on up what he was believing for, to believe, to continue to believe. If the world says it can't happen, chalk it down, it can happen.
Amen.
Huh? If the world says, well, the economy's going south, believe the economy's going north.
That's right.
Huh? And if the economy's going down, I'm going up.
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to be more blessed, and I talked to Ray about this. I said, it seems like that we are more blessed when everyone, you know, when the world's side is just going hairy-carry. It seems like God just really pours it out for us, and he wants the people in the world to see that so they can say, what's going on? Why? Hey, you know, are people's all upset and unnerved and scared? And, you know, I started out when all this anthrax thing started at the post office. I started out wearing gloves, you know. And then I thought about it, and I hadn't told Raymond Douglas, Doug. I hadn't told Doug this, but I was standing there, and one morning the Lord spoke to me, and he said, don't you believe my word? And I thought, well, Lord, you know I believe your word. And he said, doesn't my word give you a promise of protection? And I go, yeah. He said, what about any deadly thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And he said, would you deliberately pick up a piece of mail that had anthrax? I said, no, Lord. And he said, you're covered. I'm going to protect you. And I said, you know, yes, Lord, because I feel like if he wasn't, he'd tell me to get out of there. You know, or he would, the Holy Spirit would instruct me to protect myself. Do y'all follow what I'm saying, where I'm coming from? We've got to put our trust and reliance in him more than our trust and our reliance in ourselves. Okay, so be not afraid, only believe. Now, can you almost see Jairus' face? He was the ruler of the synagogue. The religious people of the day didn't think very much of Jesus as it was. So they thought, he's really blew it with the ruler of the synagogue this time. Here he did. He went and asked Jesus to come and pray for his daughter, and he couldn't even get there in time to do it. Jairus had laid his job on the line to even go and ask Jesus to come pray for his daughter. He had overlooked the religious leaders around him and had publicly made himself known and threw himself at Jesus' feet. So after the messengers had come and gone with the bad news, the bad news didn't alarm Jesus. He wasn't shaken by it. You will notice that when Jesus was here on earth, he never got in a hurry. Huh?
No,
he never got in a hurry. Oh, well, he never got in a hurry. And you will never catch Jesus making a negative confession. He didn't turn to Jairus and say, well, we tried, but some of us get it and some of us don't. No, the moment he heard the evil report, he said, "Be not afraid." One translation says, "And he turned to Jairus and said, 'Don't open your mouth. Just keep believing.'" I like that. Don't open your mouth. Just keep believing. I'll take care of this. So when Jesus finished ministering to the little lady with the issue of the blood, and she was healed and set free, then he followed Jairus to his house. And I imagine that that was some sight to see, because by that time, you know, they had hired mourners that come in. And by this time, they were a weeping and a wailing and a carrying on like we wouldn't even know anything about today. And Jesus had them take them all out. He walked in and he took a hold of the little girl's hand. And he said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And what happened? She arose and was made whole. The whole time, Jairus was still holding fast to what he believed. Why? His heart was established and fixed on the fact that Jesus would do what he said he would do. Is your heart fixed on the fact that Jesus will do what he's promised that he would do?
Amen.
Okay. Can you see the part where the established heart comes to play in our lives? The reason so many of us are being robbed of the blessings of God is because we have failed to get God's word into their hearts and get their hearts established in it. You can quote the scriptures all day long, but if you don't establish yourself on it, if you don't expect it to happen, if you don't live your life according to what the word of God says, then nothing's going to happen. I had an uncle that he was one of those people that the world said he had everything he touched turned to gold. And literally, it seemed like it did. But he would, all of a sudden, he'd have all this money. I mean, just more than, you know. And then just in a few months, he had nothing. And he could quote you the word of God frontwards and backwards, but he didn't believe it. So it was of to no avail to him. Now, if he had really had the Word of God and depending and standing on the Word of God, that the financial blessings would have stayed, and there would have been a firm foundation, and he would have put it to use in the kingdom of God. See, what is our purpose on earth? Does anybody know? To establish the kingdom of God. That's our purpose here after you become a Christian, is to establish the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And, you know, I used to, "Oh, God, what is your perfect will for me? Why? Well, his perfect will for me is to do my part in establishing the kingdom of God. And, you know, I used to hear it preach about there's a good, acceptable, a good, and a perfect will of God. Well, if you really study that, you know, it's all together. It's all together. We get so caught up on the little isms and sisms of things, when it's really simple. All we do is follow him one day at a time, one step at a time, one minute at a time, and just listen and become established. Get the word of God in your heart. And when you pray according to God's word and follow the instructions that are in God's word, and you will get results. Just like I told you, I bought my son will quit coming and say, no, he won't. He's going to come and he's going to enjoy hearing his mom teach. I bought, when he was a young man at home, I bought him a devotional book. And it done as much good for me as it did him, because the title of the book was, "If the Devil Made You Do It, You Blew It." You know, and that's true. If we want to blame a lot of stuff on the devil that the devil really didn't have anything to do with, it's just because we didn't listen, we didn't apply, and we didn't establish.
Amen.
So if we miss it, then it was our faith, not God's. Okay. And by studying God's word, you'll find that he has no pleasure in weak and feeble people. He loves them. He will care for them. He will protect them, but he has no pleasure in them. A weak and feeble Christian is one that is ignorant of his covenant with God. Okay. What's your covenant? Huh?
Oh, God.
This is your covenant. There's over 30,000 promises. 30,000 strong. Think about that. Everything that you have need of, there's a promise in the Word of God that you can apply to it. And if you'll apply it to it and stand on it and know that that's your covenant, then you will begin to see results. Amen? Okay. And you can read through the Gospels and see that Jesus never missed it. He never failed. He never once was defeated. He was never at a point where he could not overcome with the things that God had given him. And guess what? Every believer is equipped with the same things Jesus had in his earthly ministry. He said, you know, I used to feel real guilty when I would quote the scripture, greater things than these shall you do. I think, oh, but God, that's almost blasphemy to say that I can do greater things than you did. You know, but no, he dwells within, the Holy Ghost dwells within, and we're supposed to do greater things than he did. He set the example for us, and he expects us to go and do the things that he's done, and the doors that he opens for us, we just move on in his power and do those things. Why? Because, and we don't do it within ourselves, and we don't become prideful when he uses us, because we have become established on the Word of God. Amen. And I didn't get very far. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, I want to tell you about the 7 major revelations every believer should know.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have never received Jesus as their personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and to cleanse me of all my sins and to be Lord over my life according to Romans 10:9-10 that says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Jesus has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So now declare, I am now newborn, reborn, a new creation. I am a Christian, a child of the Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I love it when people receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries, 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Or you can email us at victoryinliving@aol.com. Or visit our website, Victory in Living Ministries, that's all one word, .org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.